19-3, time to check in with our resident doc for the AFL injury report from Epworth. Better, Dr. Brodie O'Donnell's back in studio. G'day, Brodie.
G'day, Half. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Today, now there's plenty of opportunities to talk about lots of things today, considering the weekend of injuries that we did have. But we thought we'd focus on the Mitch Duncan situation from the Cats, because the foot's a very interesting part of the body, isn't it, for injuries and healing as well?
Absolutely. It's really complex. There are 26 bones in the foot, 33 joints, 19 muscles and 107 ligaments that bring all of the foot bones and everything together.
Well, so the lot can go wrong is what
Absolutely.
We're saying here.
Absolutely. And in terms of things going wrong, also the role of the foot is so vital, obviously for weight bearing and helping us move. It also needs to be precise in the way we move and where we put the weight and what we do with it. And of course, if you're an athlete, you're putting greater demand on that, on all of the joints within that.
So tell me what happened with Mitch Duncan. He fractured his fifth metatarsal. He says, I was just running. I went to change direction and felt a little pop in my foot. What happened?
Sometimes bones can be put under a spiral sort of force, if you think about twisting, like wringing out a towel. So it's not always due to something hitting you from the side or something landing on a foot. And so he could have had his front or forefoot planted in the ground, twisted, changed direction, and just through the nice tight structure of his boot, his fifth metatarsal, so that's the one on the outside, it's the flat sort of cylindrical bone that goes into his fifth toe.
Is that the little toe?
No, so the little toes are the phalanges.
Oh, the phalanges, of course. Yeah. So the one back, let's go back.
It's the one back. If you think about it compared to your hand, it's like the main major bones in the hand, and the fingers are the phalanges in the hand.
Yep.
So it's a vital bone. It's quite long for a bone in the foot. It's probably about 10, 12 centimetres long.
Oh, really?
And he may have fractured it down around the sort of ankle end of it, which is named after a very famous orthopaedic surgeon, Dr. Jones. So
Indiana.
Exactly. Harrison named it after himself. So the challenge with that, of course, is he needs to weight bear on that bone forever. He's only 23 years old. And so it sounds as though they've made a pretty conservative decision. And I think that's very smart.
So it's the one on the outside. So when you're rolling out, that's the one that's copping all the weight.
Absolutely. And so I think he said something like a pop. He wouldn't have felt any major excruciating pain. It's very common that people will say it just felt maybe the balance felt a bit dodgy, couldn't run anymore. And then, of course, that reluctance to weight bear. That's a really good test. And I think Drew Slim in the Geelong's footy doctor would have sort of said, do you feel like you can walk? And when someone doesn't feel like they want to weight bear, that's a very important signal from the foot saying to the brain, whoa, do not weight bear on these bones. There's something wrong.
So does this injury recover well without surgery, or do you really have to have surgery for
this? You really do have to have surgery. You don't want non-union. I think if anyone's ever fractured their wrist and fractured their scaphoid bone, it's a very similar type of injury.
Okay.
It's only getting blood supply from one area. So you don't want that blood supply to be compromised and get non-union or even arthritis later in life, or even in this guy's late 20s.
So if it's not the outside, if it's not the fifth metatarsal, do the others get involved in these sort of torque injuries?
Not so much, but the navicular can easily get fractured. It's a small ankle bone a bit closer up towards your shin. And we know the calcaneum, the heel bone, can frequently get fractured if you're running away from someone and jumping out of a high building and landing on your heels. I had a patient
that
once. He'd fractured both his heels after jumping out of a building, robbing someone. Didn't have a lot of sympathy from the medical staff.
No, don't do that.
Yeah, and you can fracture your talus, which is the sort of part of the rotation that joins in with the shin bone. So as we described, so many bones, so many joints involved, so many ligaments. Most common injuries in the ankle actually tend to be lateral ligament injuries, and they can cause a fracture to the bones they're connected to, so the fibula.
So they sort of rip them off? Will they rip them off?
Or? Yeah, so say you stand in a hole or you change direction and you roll your ankle, your foot goes inwards, all that force and wrenching on the outside of the calf and the ankle, and that can often cause what we call an avulsion fracture. So the ligament rips and it rips a bit of bone off as well. So that's a very common injury
Not ideal for anyone. But this Jones fracture, this thing for Mitch Duncan, how long is he expected to be out, do you reckon?
So what they'll probably do is a procedure just to pin that bone back together, and they'll immobilise him the way they do with any type of fracture. And usually they talk about 6 to 8 weeks.
Yep.
The challenge with lower limb fractures, as you know, is that joint, that area, is below the level of the heart. So arteries can pump blood anywhere they want to, but it's the return of venous blood and the lymphatic drainage, so the fluid coming out of that joint, that you really care about. I used to work with a foot surgeon, Tim Schneider, and he said one of the biggest challenges for him was insisting to his patients how important it was to elevate their foot above the level of their heart while they're rehabbing.
Yep.
Now, the challenge with a boy like him is that he can do weight-bearing activity in his upper body. He can swim. He could probably sit on a watt bike and pedal with his other leg. We know that you get a training effect by pedaling with one leg even when you're not pedaling the other. But that's not aiding in the recovery and elevating the leg. So that'll be a real challenge for the medical staff to determine what's important for his fitness aerobically, and at what point in that 8, 10 and 12 weeks that he can adequately come back. Now, we're talking about late August now, mid-August. And then you've got to wonder, I mean, he's clearly a great player in the team. How integral is it that he plays in that final week of the home and away season and or the early start of the final season?
So what happens with Geelong might affect what happens with Mitch Duncan. Should they be heading towards finals, they might try and get him back. Should they be a couple of games off it, they'll say, we'll just put you out and we'll just get you ready for the next preseason.
Absolutely. So what seems like such a small and insignificant thing, particularly, as you said, there was a big weekend of injuries. And when we compare what this looked like compared to Nick Riewoldt, obviously that looked catastrophic, dramatic and very scary for everyone in and around him. But when we talk about the outcome and the effect of this has on the team, and it's really fascinating.
All right, we'll see what happens with Mitch Duncan. He's out for up to 12 weeks. And Dr. Brodie O'Donnell says that we may not see him for the rest of the year, depending on what happens with the Cats. But it's nasty, and he's got to have some really tough time ahead of him trying to get rehab with his foot up above his eyes. I tried to do that last year with my broken leg. It's very difficult. I had my foot up here last year when I had the boot on. It's very difficult to do anything else. Now, I sit down for a living. Mitch Duncan doesn't do that.
Yeah.
So he's in trouble.
He is indeed.
We will see. Thank you for coming in, Bridie.
Thanks, Alf.
We'll see you next week. No worries. Dr. Bridie O'Donnell from Epworth. Better. Of course they are.